Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a serious question today that needs to be asked for each of us. Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? We're talking about the dark, dilemmifying days that's taking place today under the leadership of Joe Biden as our president. And before we take our caller that's hanging on waiting now, let me just simply say this. Here's an article that says, how the border crisis could bring an end to our republic. During the Democratic debate in 2020, the candidates were asked if their health care plan would cover undocumented immigrants. Each one raised their hand, indicating, including the front runner, Joe Biden. From that stage to this, the message went forth. If Democrats win this election, then it is amnesty for all and open borders for America. Around the White House Domestic Policy Council document, documents the number of those who the parents or guardians have arrived at the border just in 2021, well over 117,000, 50% higher than the record number of children that arrived in 2019 and 2020. In February, some 100,000 immigrants were apprehended at the border for illegal border crossing. I actually think that's an undercount in actual number, said the ex-Border Patrol agent that now teaches at the Texas University. The pre-Trump policy of catch and release has been reinstated. Children and families who cross illegally from Mexico cannot be held for more than 72 hours. They are then released in the United States and across the country, and potential of years and years before they are ever heard. The 11 to 22 million illegal immigrants or migrants already in the country. The exact number is unknown, but it could be very well higher than that. The Democratic Party is signing on to the largest mass amnesty bill for illegal immigrants in the United States of history, which would produce millions upon millions of votes for the Democratic Party, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place, and that's the exact reason behind it, in my most humble opinion. We're watching that. Here's another article that says, House Democrats pass H.R. 1, election reform bill, in a tight vote. The House of Representatives in the late night of March the 3rd passed a sweeping election reform bill that, if signed into law, could affect multiple aspects of the electoral process, the election process, and the campaign. Among multiple provisions regarding voting, it would force states to implement a minimum 15-day of early voting, all mail-in ballots, facilitate online registration, and allow any excuse of absentee balloting. For mail-in ballots, states must comply, count the ballots if they are received within 10 days after the election. It also requires the states automatically register eligible voters on the same day of election. States would also face more conditions in order to remove registered voters from the rolls. Under the bill, felons would be able to vote after they've completed their sentences. With regard to congressional redistricting, the bill creates an independent state commission to be made up of academics, professional officials, and private citizens to handle the process instead of having it handled by the state legislatures. Democrats say the provision seeks to end partisan gerrymandering. Ladies and gentlemen, it's designed to control America with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and to allow them to rule. I believe I have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, as you know, all true Christians know that Father God is quite capable of taking care of his children. Satan is obviously attacking America, but just as obvious is the profound spiritual weakness in America. America can be seen similar to Samson, the story of Samson in the Old Testament. Samson ignored God and he went for the gusto. We no longer value the Bible as we did in previous generations. America's chasing modern idols such as materialism, money, social status, sports and recreation, and we're reaping what we have sown. Now things have gotten really bad. Now it is urgent that America repents and seeks God's deliverance. Otherwise, America is doomed.
Brother, you hit it on target. Looks like you've been reading over my shoulder. You're exactly right. I am thankful for your comments because what we've done, we have abandoned God. We have simply put God on the back burner. We've used God as a holy horseshoe or a magical rabbit's foot, that when there's trouble, when there's turbulence, when there's difficulties, we call on God. And, Joseph, one of the things that I've seen in the past year with the lockdowns and the churches being required to be closed, I am surprised every day, almost every day, when meeting people, talking with people, finding out they're no longer in church. The churches have not opened. Or they've been out so long, and the churches are now open, that they've simply not gone back. So what I've said, Joseph, and to our listening audience, we understand the Bible says in the last days there will be the apostasy, the falling away. But I believe the lockdown of the churches, Satan used that to speed up the apostasy, speed up the falling away. And there's a lackadaisical, I could care less attitude today for most Christians, so-called Christians, that they're not concerned about studying the Bible, understanding what God's Word says, or being in church, or following the will of God. They simply are believing that somehow, some way, that we need to obey government. In reality, Joseph, I believe what has happened in this tectonic shift, humanity, for the most part, simply started looking at government as being their Father God rather than God being Father God, and looking to government to meet the need, to take care of the need, and to protect us. This is the reason today I find that people wearing the mask, they look at ones without a mask as being the aliens, the foreigner, the one that's not right somehow and not wearing a mask. So we're watching that transpire. And with that being said, Joseph, the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered from those that are listening to us today. Why are we fearful? We're fearful as a people. We're fearful as a nation because we've forgotten God.
Amen.
We've left God. We've simply abandoned God and anything that's spiritual. And so I am prayerful today that Christians will listen up, understand what we must do to get back to God and to pray and seek God's face. Ask God to forgive our sins and heal our land. Joseph, thank you, brother, for your call. Thank you for your insight in the Word and for your comments today. I pray that your comments will also be a blessing and a challenge to our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, in question form, why are we fearful? Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to this point in position today, I believe, because Christians have been too silent, just as Joseph and I were just talking. Christians have been too silent, sitting in fear, unwilling to stand up, speak up, and be heard and be seen. As a result of that, we're watching our First Amendment rights being eviscerated. We're watching our Second Amendment rights being destroyed. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms, are being destroyed in so many ways. But there's about at least six gun bills that are being pushed through the House as I speak, the U.S. House. One of them is H.R. 5717. It will place a levy of a 30% tax on the sale of any guns. It will be a 50% tax on ammo sales. That is, if you buy a dollar's worth of ammo, you'd spend a half dollar for taxes. This article says under H.R. 5717, firearms would be taxable at 30% and ammunition would be taxable at 50%. A portion of these taxes would be used to go toward the prevention of gun violence. Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat of Georgia, introduced it in January, H.R. 5717, a bill to reduce gun violence, he calls it. What it does, it makes it very expensive to own and use a gun. If passed, it would, among other measures, require individuals to obtain a federal firearms license to possess the firearm. It would raise the minimum age to purchasing a firearm and require law enforcement to be notified when an individual does not pass the background check. It will make pistols and revolvers and all other firearms taxable at 50%. Shells and ammo and cartridges will be taxable at 50%. Ladies and gentlemen, this linked with other gun bills that's in the hopper now being worked. One of them being that you'd have to make the application for a firearms license permit to buy a firearm. That permit would have to be approved by the Attorney General's office, U.S. Attorney General's office. You would pay $800 application fee. You would have to have a psychological background check. Everybody in your house, everybody that you live with or around would have to have a psychological background check. Anybody in that household that fails the psychological background check, then you would be denied the right to purchase a weapon. If you purchase the weapon, you pass the background, and you pass the psychological examination, you've got to then in the application state where that weapon be stored, whether or not it will be kept at 24/7, and put the law enforcement notice what part of the house it will be in. You must also put on record who you will lend that gun to, if you'll ever lend it to your wife, your son, or your daughter for their self-protection. And if you do not do that, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be considered a criminal. And if it's not registered on that basis, you would be then fined and punishable up to 15 to 25 years in the federal penitentiary as a result of it. Yes, we're watching our freedoms, our Bill of Rights are being eviscerated, and yet we're silent, we're sitting in silence, and for most part, we're sitting in fear. We're sitting in fear. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. I'm not afraid. I haven't worn a mask. Not going to wear a mask. Not afraid of these laws. I'm just waiting for the large shout so I can leave here. As far as Hank Johnson, I don't believe he wrote that bill because that's the same House member that was worried that Guam was going to tip over, if I remember correctly.
That is the same House member.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure that one out. I guess I'm just going to be a criminal.
Yes, you know, he said if we go back to that for the edification of our listeners, and he was talking about Guam, and he was talking about so many ships and planes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the weaponry of buildings. He said he was afraid if we did too much there that it would tip the island over. And so you're right. That shows his intelligence and his brilliance. And yet he's the one that introduced H.R. 5717. Yes, because one of the things that will take place, all gun owners, all that have, and by the way, out of about 335 million people in America, there's about 500 million weapons. And so that tells us that we're armed to the teeth as a nation. And I believe the Second Amendment right. I believe the right to keep and bear arms. I believe that right, according to my book that I had the privilege of publishing a number of years ago. God gave us that right of self-defense. It was codified in the scripture, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court to be carried out by we the people. But I believe we're watching that being eviscerated today. But when any of these bills pass, any one of them passes, it's going to make the average citizen that has a weapon for protection, it's going to make us common criminals. And that's exactly what they want for ultimate confiscation of all weapons. Because, Jim, you understand, and I know our listeners probably understand, that's one of the major components, one of the major elements of forming a socialist communist nation is to disarm the people, brainwash the people through an educational system, provide free medical care so that your health is dependent upon the government, then take your weapons away so that you have to then constantly vote for and to reelect, put in office those that's going to feed you and clothe you and shelter and take care of you. And that's exactly where we are today. But you're exactly right, brother. Go ahead.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I mean, since the advent of modern firearms there, every communist government out there, their first action has always been to disarm the populace and then use fear, intimidation, removal of the church, destruction of the family, and dethrone God as their premise to take that power. And therefore, that just leads to more misery and more death and more horrendous actions by that government. I mean, historically, it's always occurred in that very path.
Absolutely. That's God, the format that is used. And that's the format, by the way, for our listeners, for the edification of our listeners. Again, Jim, BLM, the Black Lives Matter, is not about skin tonation or color whatsoever. It's not about race. It's not about protection of a black person in America. It is a socialist, Marxist, communist organization. And the things that you just stated in relationship to communism and the takeover, that's exactly their premise, and that's exactly what they state on their website. They're against God. They want to dethrone God, the very terms that they use on their website. They're simply socialist, Marxist, communist, and yet they have a lot of black people in America absolutely bamboozled into believing that they are for their protection and siding with them. And that is simply not true at all. It is for the part of the overthrow of the United States of America as a constitutional republic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, every day I'm trying to keep them in my prayers. I know that we're supposed to pray for them, and I would pray for maybe a delay, but it's God's plan. And when Jesus comes back, ain't nobody going to say, I had this excuse or that excuse, because it won't matter then, will it?
Absolutely, it won't. That's the reason we need to be ready to be lifted up any time. And the only way that's possible, brother, as you have alluded to, is simply knowing Jesus Christ. And without that, we're hopeless and helpless. Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your
dialogue and
discussion on this issue today. And as I tell all of our listeners today, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. It is on the calendar of God, the next thing on his calendar. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that we're fearful as a nation, the reason we're sitting watching these things take place, I believe it's because as Christians, we've been silent too long. We've been sitting in fear. In fact, as I speak today, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of churches are still closed. Thousands of pastors are still hiding under the bed and in the closet, unwilling to come out and shepherd the flock that God has given us the responsibility over. And the second thing is, pastors have abrogated their responsibility. Abrogated their responsibility. I'm always surprised, and I shouldn't be surprised, to find people that will say, well, you know, the church I'm in, my pastor won't talk about elections. My pastor won't talk about the political agenda. My pastor won't talk about these things. And he says we just need to talk about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a cop-out. If you're in a church where a pastor is dumb enough, stupid enough, or absolutely spineless enough that he feels that he shouldn't talk about these things, he just simply hadn't studied the scripture. God created the home, God created the government, and God created the church, and in that order. And anything we talk about from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, and you'll find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and yea, even thousands of passages in the scripture where it's dealing with political, we would call them governmental issues. We need to understand that God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and anything we talk about ought to be balancing it with what God's word says, or we're not preaching and teaching the full truth of the word of God. They've avoided that. They've bobbed and ducked around that and try to convince the anemic, illiterate Christian, immature Christian, that's the way it should be. This is the reason we put so many loose, lax, lost liberals, as I call it, in office today, is because of the silence in the pulpits. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Christians have been too silent. We're sitting in fear rather than standing up, speaking up. Pastors have abrogated their responsibility. We've elected too many rhinos in our state, national, and local offices of leadership. We have people here in the city of Jacksonville that's on the city council that's just about as worthless as a $3 bill when it comes to anything that's called morals and ethics and values and biblical truth or standing for our constitutional liberties. But, ladies and gentlemen, we must all recognize that we have been put in a position that there must be the sense of fear, because it is by fear that the Communist Party around the globe rules and dominates its people. You'll recall in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, some of you are familiar with that. In the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41, Jesus puts his disciples on the boat, and they go out into the water. And then all of a sudden, there's a great wind and great waves beating against the ship, as Dr. Adrian Rogers said many years ago, that was the waves with an angry fist of the water beating upon the ship. And the disciples got fearful. They were frightened. They were afraid. And they looked for Jesus. He was down in the bow of the boat, sound asleep. And they awakened him. Aren't you concerned that we're going to die? Aren't you concerned that we're going to drown? And Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ladies and gentlemen, that's my question today. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Being fearful is something that God's word says we ought not to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to recognize that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe we have a call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, happy, what is today? Happy Tuesday.
Thank you.
And just listening to you today, I wish we had more pastors preaching from our pulpit. By the way, for people that are listening, we can find Dr. Youngblood on YouTube because we've been watching him on that also. But it's just, I think what's happened is we've placed all of our faith in people rather than placing our faith in God. And I think what God's done is he's brought us back to where we don't have a choice. I mean, if we place our faith in people, we've been so disappointed because people are human, their sinful nature, all that type of stuff, to where now the only thing we can do is, well, we do have a choice. We can continue to try and depend on man or woman, but that's not going to change anything. But it's just we have to get back to where God created us to have a relationship with him, not to have a relationship with our cars and our homes and our everybody, spouses, family. We our first thing we're supposed to be doing is having a relationship with him. And I think what we've done is we've kind of left him behind, and he's saying now, well, I'm going to provide an environment where you don't have anything but me.
Amen. I believe that. It snatches the rug out. You got no place to stand but on the word of God. And I believe that's what God is doing today. He's literally snatching the rug out so that we will have our total dependence on him for survival for the future.
And then one last question, what should we do? Well, I mean, I know we need to pray, but is there, you gave out yesterday the number for the Senate. We called and left a voicemail. So to be more outspoken, what should we do? And thank you very much for what you're doing in your ministry.
Well, brother, I believe in civil disobedience. I don't believe in going out here and breaking windows and closing the business or blocking the doorway to a business, et cetera. But I believe in civil disobedience. I believe that Christians need to, every opportunity we can, take a stand, speak up, be heard, be seen, and be actively involved in the political process. Now, I don't believe in being involved in the political process if it's going to take you out of Sunday school, worship service, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday morning. If it's going to remove you from the house of God, then you're absolutely unbalanced with your priorities. But I believe we have missed the priority of being trusting in God, depending on him, learning his word, studying his word, and then being salt and light in the community in which we live. And that community is I'm talking about is that which government, which people now call the political community. We need to be involved. We need to elect Christians and not let them talk about reaching across the aisle and diminish anything that's called godly power in their place of leadership. We need to take that stand. But most of all, we need to stop fearing and submitting. For example, I've seen people driving down the highway with high speeds. They've got on the latex gloves, the windows rolled up, and a big old mask on their face. That's one of the primary indications of fear. We need to, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, we need to stop wearing a mask tomorrow, saying we will no longer bow. The mask is a symbol, an indication of submission to the authority that's over you. The longer we wear the mask, the longer we show the symbol and the sign of being in submission to a dominating government. In fact, I've got article after article after article. One says America's been used as guinea pigs to depopulate the nation by eugenics. Another one says CDC admits no conclusive evidence that cloth masks work against the COVID. Another one says masks are neither effective nor safe, et cetera, et cetera. And yet we hear see Christians and conservatives wearing the mask and bowing. So, yes, I think that we need to stand up and speak up, be heard, be seen, and we need to stop submitting to what is not law. It is simply an executive order someplace with somebody, and it's not law. We're not breaking the law. We're simply being obedient to God and protecting our health. So thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for what you're doing. May God continue to bless your ministry. I have always been fully convinced that America has reached where it has reached. The blame, 100% almost blame, at the foot of the church, the believers, so-called church. I am fully convinced that the truth, the revelation, the time has come when the Lord said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. and he would do the separating. But the churches, American, in America and elsewhere, the churches have been filled with unbelievers, unsaved people, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, filled. The churches all over, the land packed with churches, town, city after city. And the genuineness is not there. The evidence of all of that is the people who are making the taking these decisions that are deadly. The people who are behind putting the Bible out away and destroying our children, or gender discrepancies and all. The people who are they are church members. All of these people, the President Biden, he is a active member of a church, and all of these people, Vice President, every one of them, senators and representatives, they are people in churches. But this is what things have come to in America, and that is why we reach where we reach: ungodliness, sweeping rejection, turn our backs upon God.
Lily, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for you. Call and for your input. You're exactly right, and thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take the last minute and a half on this broadcast. I've got an article here I believe we need to close with. It says, exclusive from General Flynn, and he talks about what he's learned when the deep state came after him. Let me read you several paragraphs to finalize our broadcast today. I believe it ties up the loose ends. You do not have to watch the news for long to see that America is rapidly changing. The downward side can be found not only in our leadership, but also in the shifting definitions of right and wrong blindly accepted by many Americans today. Our leaders would have us believe that these changing values are inevitable and that they are good. That is not called anything but progressive, but it is not progressive at all. Further in the article, it says, when fighting for the truth, the most important place we can start be well grounded in the truth itself. I am referring to the truth with a capital T, he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Faith in God is an essential part of the fight to restore America's greatness. Our personal faith is inextricably linked to our personal liberties. He says, faith and freedom can never be separated one from the other. If you wish to have boldness in the fight for America, like our founding fathers did, have faith in Almighty God, trust in His power and His sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what we need to do today. We need to place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop fearing. Faith God. Trust Him. Stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as Christian conservatives in America. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.